Hello and happy New Year's to everybody that's tuning in today to UFO Encounters Worldwide. This is your host, Jesse Peek, MUFON field investigator in the state of Pennsylvania, city of Philadelphia. And how about it? A whole new year, 2024. I'm looking forward to what this year is going to bring to the field of ufology just see what happens. I'm ready to do some real good research this year myself. I know I'm motivated, ready to go, and hopefully we'll bring some really good guests on the show this year. Just happy to be a part of it with everybody here listening in and the rest of the world being a part of this field. It's unlike any other. Something I'm happy to be a part of. Many good people, and I'm looking forward to improving that and moving the field forward together. We're going to have a bunch of new guests on this year, which we're really looking forward to. New information starting with today. So let's get to that. We have our special guest, Larry Tyree, who is a certified field investigator for MUFON, Illinois. He's also a part of COPA, C-O-P-A, which is a part of a combined photographic analysis team from both Missouri MUFON and Illinois MUFON investigators. He's really good with video and photographic evidence. He's also done some really cool research into what they call fast movers and starburst craft experiences. So we're going to go over all that information today, plus some of the big cases that Larry has worked on. This should be a really, really great episode to kick off the new year. And I'm excited to be doing this with you all. So I guess let's not waste any more time and go ahead and start the show today. So as you are always ready, strap on them seatbelts. We're going for a ride. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 114 of UFO Encounters Worldwide. This is your host, Jesse Peek, MUFON field investigator in the state of Pennsylvania, city of Philadelphia. And today I'm sitting down with special guest Larry Tyree, who is a certified MUFON field investigator for the state of Illinois. Larry, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Jesse.
I appreciate you coming on. I've known you for some time. I used to go to the field investigator meetings with you, so we kind of do have a little bit of history of knowing each other.
Sure.
So I appreciate you coming on, and Happy New Year's to you.
Well, thanks a bunch. It's going to be a doozy, I think.
I think so, too. It's a good one. Good episode to kick off the new year, for sure. You're a great guest for that. So I guess let's kick it off from the beginning. How did you get involved in the field of ufology? Was it something that you experienced yourself, or was it just an interest in the subject?
Generally, as a kid, I guess I was somewhat informed about the fact that there were such things as UFOs, probably through cartoons, and the fact that, you know, in movies there were movies about UFOs and that kind of thing, you know, and they never were big box office hits, of course, but that was just something you knew about. And so I remember specifically in sixth grade, when we were living in Denver at the time, just kind of looking towards the east, towards Denver. We were living next to the foothills of the mountains. And I would see occasionally lights up in the sky near the horizon of the city, and wondered what would, you know, what are those things? Are they UFOs maybe, or the airplanes? I just didn't know. That's just an example of how I was always kind of curious about the topic. Never did see anything until the year 2014 that I would consider to be a UFO. And I've also always had a passion for astronomy, which kind of started when I was in Boy Scouts. And eventually I was able to buy a really good telescope. And so I would spend many hours, looking at the sky, planets, making video of the various planets and that kind of thing. And I got to a point where I couldn't use the telescope very often. And I'd gotten a pair of binoculars, astronomical binoculars. And so I was just kind of looking through the window one night. We were living in the Kansas City area in Lee Summit. And all of a sudden, I saw something which, oh my goodness, what on earth? And my, of course, when you're holding a good pair of binoculars, your hand's shaking it, you know. So I went to a place in the house that looked in the same direction toward the east, which happened to be in our closet, which had a great big wide window that looked right over in the same direction. And it had the advantage of having a shelf that I could drop my arms on and put the binoculars to the glass and then hold them real steady and see what the heck I was looking at. And oh my gosh, it was, I noticed it was a triangle. It was going kind of in a counterclockwise direction, red, green, white, red, green, white. They weren't all on at the same time. They were just going in that sequence, you know. And then once I realized what I was looking at, all of a sudden, oh my gosh, there's a whole bunch of those triangles. And they're all doing the same. It's kind of like there was a swarm of them. And they were just in one spot. And all of them had those the lights going in that same fashion. And I was just totally mesmerized. But that is nothing that you can explain by a plane or, a meteor or a helicopter or
right.
anything, you know?
Right.
And so I then ran outside to try to, with the camera I had at the time, which was kind of a no camera, not much at least. And of course, it wouldn't even pick up. But it was far enough away that I was seeing it well with binoculars, but with that little camera, it wouldn't even show up. But by the time I did all that, they were gone anyway. So I was just kind of scanning the skies, and all of a sudden I saw what looked to me like a meteor going down towards a lake that was about half a mile from the house. And it wasn't your typical meteor because it was going rather slow directly into the lake. And I just kind of fouled that away as, I wonder what that was. And until I actually studied about meteors did I realize you don't really see that kind of thing at such a close spot without there being some kind of impact. And I mean, within half a mile, you know, you would have heard a terrible, a really loud repercussion, kind of like the one in Vincelo, actually, in Russia over the last decade.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they explode and so on and make a huge noise, and are noticed by everybody. But anyway, that was my first experience, basically seeing those triangles. It was on May the 1st of 2014.
Okay.
And that just really got me looking at the skies from that point on. I was paying a lot of attention to what was going on. Every in the daytime, nighttime, whenever I drove, I was always keeping my eyes peeled. And that, I think, really made it possible for me to start noticing things and how many of them there really are.
Absolutely. There's nothing like having your own sighting. You know what I mean? We hear about things all the time, but until you actually see it yourself, it makes you a complete believer in the subject. And, you know, you start down
absolutely.
That rabbit hole.
Okay. That's for sure.
So how did you come across MUFON and becoming an investigator?
Well, I had actually joined MUFON, I think, a year earlier than that.
Oh, okay.
It's because I'd always had an interest in the topic. It was probably a show on TV that was talking about MUFON cases and that kind of thing. And so I looked into it just to see if there happened to be a chapter nearby. And of course there was. And so I found out about it and started going to the meetings. And so, I mean, that was that portion. I was just totally enthralled by the information I was picking up at the meetings and seeing people's experiences and validating in another sense, you know, what I'd seen too.
Right.
And so, yeah, it was just kind of like a lot of people, I suppose, they have a basic interest, they stumble across the name and or somebody, a friend mentioned it.
Right.
And you look into it more. I got sucked right in.
Yep, I did too. As soon as I found out you can become a certified investigator, I was all over that. You know, finding a community of people that are looking into the subject was like very eye-opening to me. So that was intriguing. So I, let's kind of go into your research a little bit. One of the big things that you have done is looked into what you call fast movers. And you've also helped out with the book along with Margie Kay, Bill Spicer, and Wayne Lawrence called The Fast Movers, Evidence of High-Speed UFOs. Could you tell us what fast movers are and the research that you've been doing?
Yeah, actually, Wayne Lawrence is my pen name. I'll be using that on all future publications as well. The way I discovered it, I happened to be, there was an event, about 4 months after my first sighting. I was sitting in my living room, and I noticed all of a sudden a really bright light out the we had some big windows, so looking towards the back of the house, which was actually going toward the northwest, went towards the lake, I guess, another mess. And it was the most brilliant light I've ever seen. I just hovered right there above the tree top. And what was unusual about it is you had rays coming out to a point all the way around the thing. It's hard to describe because you've never seen anything like that. You could actually see individual sharp rays coming out all the way around. It was the brightness of, say, like a sparkler that kids do at 4th of July, you know?
Right.
That's how bright it was. And so I got it on the video and some photos, which don't do any justice to it. Then all of a sudden it morphed into two and moved off to the left. It turned into a white and red light and went to the left and went away. And so that was that, you know, if the first one hadn't hooked me, this second one did. So I started noticing stuff all the time. And so that a few weeks later in September, I happened to be just totally mesmerized by five other objects I'd seen. I had taken a video and five still photos of some objects. And so then I did another video later that evening. And it was September, it wasn't dark yet. And so I started, it seemed like I was seeing something that my eyes were just barely registering, but when you looked at the video, you couldn't really see it. That something was happening. So I decided to start looking frame by frame. And oh my gosh, there was this little round sphere that went from the bottom right of the screen, sharply up towards the left for a matter of several frames. And then it made a 90 degree turn. And then three frames later, it made a 45 degree turn. Now, you know, nothing I know can do that.
Right.
You know, that would totally liquefy the content of a human being just because of the numerical changes. But in all, it took, the whole thing took, the sequence took 1.2 seconds. And it got up at an angle of about 25 degrees. And I calculated that one was going about 205 miles an hour.
Wow.
And that was my very first fast mover. So from that point on, I thought, oh my gosh, there's something going on that nobody seems to be aware of. And so every time I would, and I took a lot of videos myself, and eventually filed about, I think it was about 37 reports with MUFON over the next couple of years, just things I was seeing in that lake area and a few other places too. But that was where the whole idea for me, where it began. But then I started noticing in many, at least one out of five cases, you could find fast movers in them, and which were totally unrelated to what the witness had seen and was reporting on. And usually the witness was reporting on something else. And it may be that in some cases the object was a UFO, an unidentified phenomenon. But in many cases it turns out to be an airplane. But there were these lost. And then it was over the next few years I started really the other thing about the beaches, they are, they're just everywhere. And so that's how it started. And several years later, I was talking about the latest bass mover I'd seen at one of our MUFON meetings with the leader of our side of the state. She's the assistant state director, Margie Kay. And she said, you know, I've been thinking about this. She'd been seeing them too in a different way. Mine happened to be more scientific and frame by frame and using math and this and that. And she was actually experiencing one and able to see them in other ways. And so I said, you know, we ought to join our backgrounds here and work together on this new book, because it's clear that both of us had a whole bunch of experience in seeing these fast-moving objects.
Right.
And we also then brought in another person who actually introduced me to another way of looking at them too, using what's called the quantum observation technique. But it basically is, the easiest way to describe it is what you do is you can mostly block the sun with, say, the roof of a house or a building. That's the easiest way to do it. And you set up a camera with a video that you can take, maybe you can take photos too, looking up at that space where you're just getting just a tiny little sliver of the sun. And then you just start a recording or take a snapshot. And just do that a number of times. And boy, you're going to be amazed how many things you're going to see flying by. When you take a video, they're going by really fast. So there's a whole other category of them that are just happening all the time that most of them, everybody's unaware of. Whatever the method, you know, whether you're capturing them just normally on video or using that particular solar observation method, it just shows that there's an awful lot that's going on that we're not even aware of as a race of people. And just a few people have discovered it and know what's going on.
Yeah, that's incredible. You know, I know Margie. You know, I've worked with her a couple times. And I mean, it's incredible because it's a whole nother section of this field that you really don't hear too much about. And for you guys to be able to capture these videos and find these different ways of measurements, it's just a whole new kind of rabbit hole to go down, which is really cool, you know, to be able to see these things. And you're seeing them in detail, like you said, you know, so it's pretty cool. And the initial sighting isn't even the object that you're looking at with these fast movers, correct? Like you said, it was usually an airplane or another object.
Yeah, every case that I look at now, I always check to see if there's any fast mover. It's just part of what I do. And there was a case that happened that actually was Margaret's case a couple of years ago, and she asked me to do some of the work on it. And essentially, it was a pretty slam dunk easy case. It looked like a jet with a contrail that, for some reason, the witness didn't think it was an airplane. He thought it was something else. And I was able to prove that, yes, in fact, it is a jet. However, I was able to find about a dozen fast movers.
Really?
And so, oh yeah, it was just full of fast movers. And this is just at a hardware store in a neighboring city. Just looking up at the sky where he was taking a video of that plane. In fact, it was interesting. There was even one that went right through the contrail. You could actually see it. It got partially deferred in one frame and then see it coming out of the contrail on the other side. It looks like it was even sampling their contrail. I mean, why else would you do that, you know?
Wow, that's incredible.
But it was just, and that gave, of course, just because it did that, it gave you an idea as to the altitude and compute speed and a whole bunch of things. Well, anyway, that was another fascinating one. Not unbeknownst to the witness, there had been a whole bunch of other things going on.
Now, have you ever come across these fast movers ever coming up on maybe Flight Radar 24 or MADAR units or anything like that?
Well, I mean, it's always possible. The problem is you don't see them. Right. You have to have a video that you're taking, you're recording at the precise location and time. I just don't think, maybe it's going to happen someday. I know my own MADAR has gone off a number of times, but you don't see anything. Is it possible it's that there's a fast mover that set it off? I suppose so, but there's just no way of, you just don't, how, when you have 180 degrees in any direction of sky, and you know, directions to point the camera, how would you even know where to go if you're trying to capture a fast mover?
Right.
That's the problem. So far at least, we've been kind of relegated to either using that solar technique or all the different videos that are taken and just checking those and seeing if you happen to catch anything. And quite often I do.
So the only way to actually see these fast movers is to take the video and slow it down frame by frame, like you were doing, right?
Now, I have caught some just on snapshots, but that's very lucky.
Okay, and they all look like sphere-shaped objects? Any lights anything coming off of them? Anything at all?
They're usually different colors. Many of them are round. I've actually found some to be the size of anywhere between a basketball and, say, 4 or 5 feet.
Okay.
So there's a range, but you know, there's another class of UFOs or UAPs called orbs that come in different sizes. But many of the ones that are the most notable and that seem to be the most that get to be verified, as an unknown, tend to be around 4 to 5 feet in diameter.
Okay.
And so you see those occur from time to time. From time to time, they're not by any means the most prevalent. In terms of actual UFO shapes, I actually went through the whole MUFON database and got the numbers.
Okay.
And made some but V1 shape that is the most often seen in MUFON reports are spheres.
Right.
And then the next most often is a circle, which is probably the same thing. It's probably a sphere, but they just didn't know that you can't tell any depth to it.
Right. And
so it's probably the same thing. So you add those two categories together, by far it's the most prevalent. You're probably talking close to 25-30%
of all sightings, right?
All sightings, are spherical around. But it doesn't make any sense for it to be just a circle like a plane.
Right.
It's got to have something to it,
Right.
And so it's most likely if it's a circle, then it's probably a sphere.
Yeah, that's really interesting for sure. I'm glad to be hearing about this, and I think other people need to hear it too. So it's important information. But let's go ahead and take our break. And when we come back, we can kind of get into your Starburst craft experiences that I've seen you talk about, some of the telepathy that you've been working on as well, because that's some of the big topics that are in the field right now that I definitely want to touch on with you. So we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll be back right after these commercial messages. This is your host, Jesse Peake. check out our official website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. Read up on UFO articles, including abductions, close encounters, sighting cases, megalithic structures, and more. Also, check out our new Facebook group. You'll get updates on guests every week, new events coming up, and our schedule of who we're going to have on in the future. Again, that's UFO Encounters Worldwide Facebook group and our website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com.
Have you always been curious about the unknown, the unexplainable? Do you find yourself intrigued by the mysterious and paranormal side of our world? Then Let's Find Out with co-host Diego is the podcast for you. Join in on an adventure into the world of the inexplicable and get insights from experienced researchers, investigators, and experts. Listen to mind-bending discussions and fascinating stories as Let's Find Out explores the strange, mysterious, and paranormal. Let's Find Out with co-host Diego is a unique and engaging podcast that uncovers the mysteries of the cryptic and unknown. With insightful interviews and discussions, they discover the very latest theories, discoveries, and investigations that may someday give us the final answer as to what may be behind the veil of reality. Available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, YouTube, iHeartRadio, Radio Public, TuneIn, and Rumble.
UFO Encounters Worldwide would like to announce our brand new home at the UNX Network. Listen to us every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear UFO Encounters Worldwide podcast. That's on the UNX Network.
UFO Encounters Worldwide wants to hear from you. Have an experience or a sighting you want to share? Contact your host, Jesse Peek, at ufoencountersworldwide@gmail.com today.
Looking to get some UFO merchandise? We'll get some UFO Encounters Worldwide official stickers, and we also have pins. Check out our selection, DM us or email us if you're interested for inquiry, and we'll show you our selection. All pins and stickers are $3 each and $1 shipping. Or you can mix and match any five for $10 and free shipping. DM us or send us an email if you're interested. Welcome back to the second half of episode 114. We're sitting down with our special guest, Larry Tyree, MUFON field investigator in Illinois. So before the break, we had spoke about fast movers and your research into that. There's another word that I've seen you talk about, starburst craft experiences. What exactly is that? I've never heard of that.
Well, this is I saw this on the first time was in January of 2016, and that day, I'd seen several other UAPs in other locations in the city. And on this particular occasion, I was going back home and I was in the neighborhood and I saw this really unusual light that seemed like it was flickering, but I had never seen anything flickered so rapidly in my life. And so I took some video of it. And my gosh, it's hard even to describe this thing. It's like, the outline of it looks like it's kind of a fat disc with a dome to it.
Okay.
Except you see real fat rays of light that are short rays. Instead of going for a long distance. And so I've never seen anything like this anywhere else before. It's really unusual. But I guess the most impressive thing about it is how quickly the light, and it's really bright, just flickers as the thing is moving through the sky. This is not a strobe light from a plane. This is totally I saw this was just in our neighborhood. And so that was one, the first time I saw it was in 2015. 2 years went by before I saw it again. And this time, it was August of 2017, 9:30 in the evening, and I was returning home from a meeting. That was a conference where various paranormal and UFOs and things were being discussed and presentations made and this and that. Anyway, I was just entering back into our neighborhood, and all of a sudden I saw that bright light again, except this time there was two of them. And in between the two of those little rapid starburst things, there was a round sphere. And so it was just traveling as they were all parallel. So the brightly flashing lights and the red sphere were just kind of going through the neighborhood towards the lake in the distance. And it took about 35 seconds. I figured it was about 600 feet up in the air. And it went for a mile and a half, 2 miles before I lost sight of it, mainly because of the trees. And so I was totally mesmerized by that thing. I wrote down my experience and figured I would submit something. And since I already had a good frame that I saved from the video of the previous Starburst episode, I was able to create what this looked like. It's unusual for me, but I was driving and I thought, so I couldn't just stop and get my phone out and try to capture it, because, well, man, you just didn't do that. And so I was able to recreate what it looked like. And just like copying those previous Starbursts and putting a red sphere in the thing. So a week later, it just happened to be a Friday night again. And I was in the living room. And I remember thinking, oh, yeah, it was, this happened to be 9:30. At the time that I saw this, the two Starbursts in the sphere, the week before. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, a week ago, I saw that interesting phenomenon with the two Starbursts. And now my wife had asked, wanted me to close the blinds in the living room that day. And so there's no way I could see out from those lower big windows, you know.
Right.
And so I remember thinking that and saying, oh, gosh, there's going to be another flyby by the Starburst. I wouldn't be able to see it because the blinds are sure they're all closed. Now, up top, then we had a huge, vaulted ceiling in the living room where there was a second row of those big windows. So about 5 seconds after I had that thought that I wasn't going to be able to see it because those blinds were closed, here it comes on top. It goes across all three windows and you can see it as clear as day, except this time, instead of the red sphere being parallel to the two starbursts, this time it was at the top. The red sphere formed a triangle with the two starbursts at the base, on either side of the base. And so it was making a triangle. And I think what it was trying to show me is that it's not just straight, that it, in this particular case, it was making itself into a triangle too. And it just wanted to show me that it was still around.
Wow.
I mean, I have no other explanation for it. You know, what's the odds that precisely the same time, precisely 9:30 p.m. each night, and the fact that I thought, oh, you won't be able to see, I'll be able to see you down below, and so it goes above, and I can see it. So that was just really
That's incredible. So is this where the telepathy aspect comes into play, that it might have been listening to you or hearing what you were saying, so it made itself visible?
Yeah, I think so. That's what I had to surmise from that particular one. There was another occasion that took place in which the very, in fact, it was that first experience when I saw Star Wars. I didn't finish that story. So the very first time I saw the Starburst where it was just a single light, okay? That time I was driving out of the neighborhood and I saw this thing boat from my left all the way across in front of me and continue on over to the horizon. And then we got the bones and trees. But the more I drove towards where I was going to the interstate, we go south towards the downtown part of Utah. I noticed after I got beyond the trees, oh, it was still there in the distance, and you could see it, except it must have registered that I was still seeing it, because then it stopped. And I went past a curve and got to a stoplight where I had to wait, and darn if that thing didn't turn around, it came right straight towards me. And once it noticed I was looking at it, and at first it looked like there were two oblong lights, but then the closer it came, and that's already changed from the starboard, so that it shut off the starburst, and so and now there's two kind of oval lights, and then it came towards me, and they changed to just round lights, and it stopped, probably a quarter mile away, and just stayed there. There was a road that ran over there as well, but it wasn't lit up by night lights or anything. And so while I was sitting there at the three cars ahead of me at the stoplight, I had a good chance to look at this thing as it just came over and just stopped and hovered in one spot, making no noise or anything. And then, so at this point, I thought, okay, well, this thing just changed from a starburst to two white, round, spherical lights, almost like headlights in a way, but this was like up in the air. It wasn't down the road.
Right.
It was up in the air. And so the light turned and I had to go with the traffic was going. And so I went over the bridge, turned left, got on off the exit into the highway I was going for, going south. And so I was tootling along and here was that thing keeping pace with me on the left side, going back in the same area where it had been, but just following me. And every time I looked at it, it came. So from the first thing it did was those two lights rotated and there was a third light at the top making a triangle. And so it wanted, number one, it wanted me to see that it's a triangle. And then every time, of course, I would have to just look back at the road and then look back at the thing. And every time I looked at it, it changed its position. And sometimes it would just jump around. Other times it would just, move. The triangular shape could move left to right, just rotate in various positions. We were doing this all the way for about a mile and a half until it got, and that was all just fields. There was no houses or neighborhoods or anything. Once we got back to an area where there was neighborhoods and all, it could stop and went away. So that's another case where every time I looked at it, it knew I was looking at it.
That's incredible.
And so it just kind of danced around and did various things and showed itself to, I'm actually a triangle. So here's what we look like.
So do you think this thing was morphing or do you think it was turning into when it went into two? Do you think it was one coming out of another or do you think this thing was intelligent in itself?
Well, I think that when I saw just the two lights, the third one was probably down. It was like a triangle laid flat, so you'd only see two of the lights.
Okay.
And so when I got on the highway, it actually pivoted and rotated up. And I actually saw it rotate. I actually saw the thing rotate up. And so that's when the two lights became three, when at the apex was one that you couldn't see on the other side.
Wow. That's incredible. And to be able to change from the triangle, it's... You don't see that too often and be able to see something like that. I can imagine what that was like.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like we were communicating. It knew I was looking at it. And in fact, it knew because it stopped where it was going and turned around and came back to me.
Right.
And so it obviously was reading my thoughts. And this has happened a number of times. And in fact, I'll talk about this more in the book about telepathy, but there's another experience I had with that too. if we get to today, communicating with the alien.
Yeah, I would definitely like to hear about that. You're hearing this more and more with experiencers. Where I work with the ERT, and experiencers are having these communications, whether it be telepathy or verbally. You know, most of it's telepathy, you know, all in the mind. So if you've had an encounter like that, I would definitely like to hear about it.
Yeah. You're familiar with the remote viewing, right?
Yes. Margie K remote viewed my experience for me. So that was, it was interesting.
Well I went through it all. I wanted to learn how to do it. And so I took one of her courses several years ago. And at one point, a couple of years ago, she got three of us together that I suppose were some of the better ones. So four of us, we wanted to do an experiment where we took about 10 or 11 different cases and would all remote view at the same time using Zoom, various places. And the only piece of information she gave us was a random page number. And we had no idea, and we had no, and we of course did not look anything up. And as you know, when you get a case, you may be working, if you don't remember any of the numbers of the case. I mean, we get so many of these things, there's no way you can remember any one number anyway.
Right, absolutely.
And much less if it's somebody else's or just a random one from the MUFON case file. So anyway, remote viewing, for those who aren't aware of it, is extrasensory perception is kind of synonymous with clairvoyance, remote viewing, and remote perception. They're all basically different terms for pretty much the same thing. It's a way of visiting a place or an individual or a phenomenon in the past, present, or the future. One doesn't travel physically to that place or that individual, but one can access information about it. And so it's kind of information received from a distance beyond the reach of our normal senses. And a person is awake and focusing his or her attention on that particular target. And I mean, I can swear to how good Margie is, and she's been doing it for years and years and years.
Right.
It seems to help me find things, for example, that I lost track of. Finally, after wit's end, after months of searching, I said, Margie, can you help me find my passport?
Oh, wow.
And by golly, every time that I've asked her to do something, it's only twice, but she found it, and it was hidden behind a cabinet and fallen or something, and I never would have looked there.
That's great.
The stuff really works. So anyway, this one time, it was the first of our sessions where the four of us were taking a random case. And when I started to remote view it, we always took about 20 minutes or so, 20 to 25 minutes to do it. And then we would kind of share our notes as to what we saw. Well, what I saw, craft, sort of a spherical disc-shaped craft. I didn't dwell on that. I went straight in to the entity that was guiding it, that was in charge of it, who was reclined on a chair, kind of not a typical chair I would think of, but it was still kind of a form-fitting chair. And the entity had the non-human intelligence, the NHI, instead of using the term alien or something, that's what we prefer to use, the NHI, had leathery skin around his eyes. He didn't look human at all. I mean, he looked humanoid, but the face was slender, wider at the top, and had some larger eyes, but not particularly as much as we see, let's say, grays that tend to be much larger. All of a sudden, it seemed to notice me at the start. And it was really angry. And I could tell with its eyes that I was intruding on it. Then I thought, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you harm. We're just curious about you. And then it changed. Oh, okay. You can't really do it. And so that was my first time I've ever had an interaction with a non-human intelligence, just, you know, like that, other than, say, with the craft that was moving strange waves in the sky and so on. But I had a chance later on to reconfirm that, and I made the initial quick drawing that later I was able to go back and look at it and refine what I really saw.
I can imagine what that can be like to have your first communication be something and it actually sees you being there.
Yeah. I noticed there was kind of a reddish or orange glow in the room. And at that time, I also saw a lot of different eyes, many shapes and sizes. And then I also saw a shadowy figure with hardly any detail to it. It turns out that each of us see different things when we look at them. And this tend to be our experience. All four of us would usually see some different aspect of what we were looking at. In my case, I happened to focus more on the entity that was in charge of the ship than to be the pilot. Others saw a whole bunch of children that were on that craft. That was, for me, it was all those different shaped eyes.
Okay.
I just didn't get into the detail. And then one of the other viewers also saw a shadowy person next to the pilot, what I did. So, I mean, that's just interesting that we're able to corroborate a number of things like that that we're all seeing.
Yeah, that's great. What did Margie give you guys to view? Like, what was she thinking of when she gave you guys the
just a case number.
It was just a case number.
Yep, just a case number.
Okay.
And so from that, we all saw different aspects of the same thing. When we went through the training, sometimes she would just give us an intersection, and we have no idea, you know, where in the world that is.
Right.
But an intersection.
Wow.
On one occasion, I cover that in the book too. She just gave us an address, and that was interesting too. But anyway, they're all interesting.
Yeah, that's very interesting. You know, I'm fascinated with it, and it's something that I've been thinking about trying to learn myself. And I've seen classes, and I know Margie teaches it as well. Just waiting until I'm fully ready to be able to do something like that, because I know it takes time and dedication to be able to do it right. So it's interesting that you're able to do it. I can imagine what that feels like to be able to successfully remote view a location or you know, a case number.
Yeah. The other telepathy experience that I had that was most notable happened about 3 years ago. It was just right before we moved from the Kansas City area to Chicago. I was driving west on back to that same highway that I was mentioning earlier, when I saw an oddly shaped craft fly in front of me. It was only about 50 yards ahead of me, and just a little bit up in the air, maybe 20 degree elevation. And what it was there was four red spheres, four spheres, two red on one side and two white on the other side. But it was kind of like if you could imagine the underside of a car with the tires being the spheres. Okay. It kind of looked like, but with no other detail other than the tires.
Right.
But these were the lights, the two red lights and two white lights. Hmm. And so, but you couldn't see anything else. And it wasn't dark, it was kind of dusk, but you could still see everything. And so it just kind of crossed from right to left across my field of vision, and I kind of watched it as it went off in the distance. And then I got to wondering, where it's going. And smack, I continued on, and occasionally I would take a look, and now I could still see it going further and further away. I was at the place where I needed to turn left to go to the apartment I was in at the time. And so I got to wondering, I wonder if you can hear me. And so I sent another message saying, I mentally sent the route I was going to take to the apartment, where I was going to be at the bottom of the hill, where there happened to be a good spot before I turned left into the complex, or I knew I could just face the park. And so I sent the message I was going to be going to that location if they wanted to come so I could see it. By golly, it did it.
How about that?
And so it turned from, it was many miles away, and it came real close and parked itself right above this tree, about 500 yards away from me. And I just kind of looked at it. I got to thinking, gosh, I wish that I could see more detail than just the brightness and the light. And so I looked over to the left at where the apartments were. And well, maybe in the parking lot with the lights there, I wonder if I would see better. So I drove over there, but then realized, no, it's too much glare. So I went back, and by then it had left. But that was just really, really unusual.
Yeah.
Send a message where you're going, where you could meet it, and
right
at the same spot.
That's got to be an incredible feeling, knowing that you have that capability to communicate that way. You know what I mean? That's fascinating, really. So we're actually at the end of the show. We went over a little bit, but do you want to tell everybody where they can get your book at, where they can follow your work at, if you have a page for that as well? Any information you want to give out?
Well, the book, I believe we finally settled on First Unseen Inhabitants. We're still in the process of assembling it. My portion has been finished now for a couple of months, but I'm waiting for the other two co-authors to finish getting theirs in, and then it has to be laid out. So I suspect it may not be until April or May before the book is out. What we did before was we made it available through Amazon. And so our first book, The Fast Movers, you have to put the word "the" in front. It was another book by a similar title, Fast Movers. It has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. So The Fast Movers, you can get that book there. And it will eventually, in a few months, when we finally get the book published and ready to go, it'll be to Amazon again.
Okay. Excellent. I'll make sure I put a link in the description of the episode so people can go over and check that out. I want to thank you for coming on today and sharing all this information with us, Larry. You're doing some great work and catching some great things. I think it's going to really help the field in the future, if not now. So I appreciate your work and sharing this with us today.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to episode 114. Happy New Year's once again. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. We'll be back next week with another episode. And until next time, remember to keep your eyes in the sky. Well, what an episode to kick off the new year 2024 with our special guest Larry today. Some amazing research that Larry's doing there out of Illinois, and combined with the other states around him, working together to bring new research forward with these fast movers. Some very, very, very cool stuff to learn about today, especially the starburst craft as well, the telepathy that we talked about, some of the big cases he's worked on. I mean, just an amazing episode to kick us off. So thank you to Larry for coming on today and sharing all that information with us. We'll be back next week with another special guest. Also, this episode is sponsored by Project Bat Tech 404. Some of you might have heard of it before, but this is a project that is looking for UFO sightings and encounters that involve some kind of electrical malfunction, whether it be your cell phone, maybe a camera, whatever. You can go to projectbattech404.wordpress.com. If you have had one of these encounters, you can report that over at the website as well, to help out UFO research. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in to episode 114 to kick off the new year. And we look forward to bringing you guys another special guest next week. So until next time, remember to keep your eyes in the sky.